From KQED in San Francisco, this is the California Report, the statewide news program focusing on the issues, culture, and public affairs of the Golden State.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Dogpile.com. All of these search engines piled into one: Google, Yahoo, LiveSearch, and Ask.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. The city of San Francisco is moving ahead with plans to expand health coverage for uninsured residents starting tomorrow, even though last week a federal judge struck down a key provision of the plan that would have required big employers offer coverage or pay into the city program. Without the mandate, officials project about a third of San Francisco's uninsured will stay that way. Lawyers for the state say the health plan pending before Sacramento lawmakers may face the same kind of legal challenge. The Wall Street Journal reports the subprime industry lobbied hard during the height of the housing boom to stop states from cracking down on risky lending practices. Leading the pack, Orange-based AmeriQuest, until recently one of the nation's biggest subprime lenders. Over 4 years, AmeriQuest doled out more than $20 million in political donations. The firm's founder is now U.S. ambassador to the Netherlands. Governor Schwarzenegger's campaigns received almost $1.5 million. The spokesman says his decisions aren't influenced by campaign contributions. In 1965, a popular park in Sacramento was named after a local philanthropist. That may not seem remarkable, but Charles Gatty was also a racist, whose advocacy helped lead to the forced sterilization of 20,000 Californians. Some community activists say it's high time the county removed Gatty's name from public places. Tamara Keith reports.
Earlier this year, the school secretaries at Gatty Middle School made a shocking discovery. Nadine Mitchell and Wanda Williams had worked at the school for years, but knew very little about the man it was named after.
Wanda just happened to Google his name, and when she read what was Charles M. Gatty was about, she said, look at this. You know, she was really excited, upset.
Upset, says Williams, because of the racist ideas he espoused.
I had never heard of the word eugenics before, ever. I didn't know anything about it. So that caused us to research what that meant, and it was just awful, just awful.
A successful real estate entrepreneur who married a wealthy heiress, Charles M. Gatty was a vocal booster of the most extreme forms of eugenics. The movement dating back to the 19th century aimed to create a better society by purifying the gene pool of the human race. Mitchell, Williams, and others contacted the school board, and as word spread about Gatty's troubling racist past, an uproar erupted, particularly in Sacramento's African-American community. The board moved quickly, and this fall, the school celebrated its renaming.
I don't know if you young people realize it today, but we are making history in South Sacramento.
There were speeches from civic leaders and the unveiling of a sign displaying the school's new name, Rosa Parks Middle School.
Here's a copy of his will and the various changes that were made in his will over the years.
Sacramento State Professor Tony Platt leans over a box of Gatty-related documents, showing me papers he's compiled in his research into eugenics. There are letters from the governor and the president on the occasion of Gatty's 90th birthday in 1966, praising him for his contributions to education and nature conservation. No mention of eugenics. Platt says in Gatty's waning years, he was courted by community institutions, including Platt's University and the County of Sacramento.
I do think the main motivation for groveling, for honoring him, for turning a blind eye to his, not just his bizarre views, but his profound racism and pro-Nazi views, was in order to try to get at his considerable estate.
Gatty spent the second half of his life writing often racist diatribes, hailing the promise of eugenics to strengthen the Nordic stock. He marveled at the efficiency of the sterilization program in Nazi Germany and promoted forced sterilizations in the U.S.
So here he is as the president of the Eugenics Research Association in 1936, and I'm going to just read you a few things from it. We are moving towards the elimination of humanity's undesirables like Sambo, husband to Mandy, the washerlady. Mandy was accustomed to screen at her better half, "Yo, I'm just like an airplane, no good on earth." we are now beginning to eliminate the no good on earth type whose unfitness to propagate is most glaring.
He was a product of his times, but he also took the ideas of his times to their extreme.
Alexandra Stern is an associate professor at the Center for the History of Medicine at the University of Michigan. She's an expert in eugenics and sterilization laws.
It's really easy to turn him into an aberration, and in some ways he was an aberration because he was willing to say things in such an extreme way. But on the other hand, the actual policies that he supported were supported by people today that we would consider to be fair-minded or even humanitarian or progressive.
In the early part of the 20th century, eugenics and sterilization were promoted by a who's who of California intellectuals and elites. Prominent professors, the presidents of Stanford, USC, and Caltech, Harry Chandler, the publisher of the Los Angeles Times. In 1909, California had become one of the first states in the country to pass a law encouraging the sterilization of prison inmates and the feeble-minded in the state's mental institutions. Paul Lombardo is a professor of law at Georgia State University in Atlanta.
And it continued sterilizing people up through the 1950s and 60s to the tune of about 20,000. So a third of all sterilizations done in the country were done in California.
California's sterilization program ended in the mid-1960s. But Lombardo says that chapter in the state's history shouldn't be forgotten. He questions the rush to remove Gady's name from Sacramento's public spaces.
The next generation of kids is not going to have any idea what eugenics was and is going to associate it with a bunch of people who were somewhere else, somewhere in Germany or in some other country, rather than realizing that it was a powerful movement supported by some of the most powerful, most wealthy, most influential people in California, as well as the rest of the world.
Concerns like those aren't slowing the push by community activists to rename Gady Park. They've asked for meetings with a series of Sacramento County supervisors, like this recent gathering at a local church. Kai Eldridge is one of many community members who made their case against Gady to the chair of the county board.
Are you committed to working with us to see the name of Charles M. Gady Park? Are you committed to making sure that park name gets changed?
Yes, that's why I'm here this evening.
Wonderful.
The Sacramento County supervisors are scheduled to take up the issue at their January 29th meeting. For the California Report, I'm Tamara Keith in Sacramento.
That's the California Report for Monday, December 31st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, sponsoring the James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards, with information online at www.irvine.org, and the California Endowment, working to ensure that Californians get statewide health reform this year, online at cahealthreformnow.org.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals and institutions reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.